You two gentlemen knew each other, were friendly.
A knife fight cuts through the kindness.
All of a sudden, he flips, and he's coming at me. He swings, and I go, oh, baby, no. He cuts my hair. He cuts my face.
This incident happened in whose apartment?
Mine. I was on the floor. He was on top of me. I had the knife by the handle. He had it by the blade.
And then what happened?
They called the police, and they locked me up.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheinlein. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Cowell Hayes is suing his former sober living roommate, Alan Parks, for having him falsely arrested for a knife attack.
Order. All rise. Case number 86 on the calendar, the matter of Hayes versus Parks.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Folks, have a seat, please.
Mr. Hayes, you have a claim against the defendant, $5,000.
Your
claim is that he assaulted you, caused you to be falsely arrested for assaulting him, caused you to have to move out of a facility that you were living in. Mr. Parks says that you actually did assault him. His counterclaim is for $1,000. For medical bills as a result of the assault that he alleges was at your hand. I gather that you two gentlemen knew each other,
yes.
Were friendly, and lived in some sort of a sober living environment?
Yes.
Was it a boarding house? Was it an apartment building?
No, it's
a transition. It's apartment building, transition to a living. So even first, like step-by-step living, you know, first you was outside, you know.
Had you been in a full-time residential facility before?
I have.
What about you, sir?
No.
How long had you been living in this particular facility?
7 or 8 months.
And you, Mr. Parks?
About 4 months, I think it was, about 4 months. He was there before I was.
This incident happened in whose apartment?
Mine.
And this was on the 27th of November, is
yes.
That right? I'm going to let you tell me your version of the events first, Mr. Hayes.
Okay. On that date, the 27th of November, we had just finished having dinner. I told Mr. Parks that I would like to talk to him after dinner because he normally sits right across from me. In the evening, they served dinner at 5 o'clock.
Just a minute. You were having dinner?
Yes.
In your apartment?
No, in the cafeteria.
So the building where you live, the apartment where you live, has its own
dining area.
Yes. You told him you wanted to see him
yes.
After dinner. And he came to your apartment?
Yes.
Who else was in the apartment?
Ruthie.
This lady?
Yes.
I want you to tell me slowly what happened when he got to your apartment.
When he got in the apartment...
First, tell me what you wanted to speak to him about.
I wanted to speak to him about the charge he sold me for a motorized wheelchair. He charged me $120 for it. It was that day he gave it to me. He charged the battery, but then I didn't know it was damaging the chair because this is not the charger that goes to that chair.
So he had sold you what you considered a defective piece
right.
of merchandise.
Right.
And you wanted your money back.
No, I didn't want my money back.
Well, what did you want?
I just wanted to tell him because I don't know if he knew or not. But I just wanted to let him know and I wanted to tell him.
Did you pay him for it?
Yes, $120.
Well, so what did you want to tell him?
I wanted to tell him about the charge. He didn't know.
Okay. And you didn't want your money back?
No.
Okay, so he came up to your apartment, your friend was there, and what happened?
Well, he was drinking a can of beer and we got into a verbal altercation back and forth.
Because
I was
telling
Because really, I've been sober for now for about, maybe I say 15 years. So really, what I was doing was really, that was the charger was the last straw. I was going to break ties with him.
And what happened?
Okay, he had 2 cans of beer. So he finished the first can of beer, right?
You mean he came up drinking one and he was holding
right.
one?
Yes.
Did you have any beer in your house?
No, I don't know.
Okay, so he had 2 beers, one in
right.
each hand?
No, yeah, one in the bag and one he was drinking.
Go ahead.
And then after he finished drinking the one in his hand, the second beer, the flip top broke. He went over to my silverware drawer. So when he opened the drawer, I thought he was getting a can opener, but the knife was on top of the can opener. It was a small steak knife on top. So I went to move the knife out the way because I don't know what he was thinking. But at that time, we was arguing back and forth. And I had told him to leave and he didn't go. I told him like 4 or 5 times to leave my apartment and he wouldn't go. So I sent that downstairs to get security. So, but when he went to reach in there in the drawer, right, I grabbed the knife by the handle. He grabbed it by the blade. That's how he got cut. And then from that, I don't know if he threw me down or I lost my balance.
And?
And that's when Mark came up. Mark told me to let the knife go. I said, I ain't letting the knife go until you get him off from off. I was on the floor. He was on top of me. I had the knife by the handle. He had it by the blade. So I told Mark, get him out of my apartment and get him off of me. And then I will, you know, like, give you the knife. So that's what Mark did.
Excuse me.
Shh, don't. Hey, Mr. Parks, I'm going to come to you.
Okay.
And that's what Mark did. So I handed Mark, after Mark did that, I handed Mark the knife.
So this young man got him off you.
Right.
And you gave him the knife.
Right.
Okay. And then what happened?
Security came up, they called the police. And then next thing you know, all I remember, they brought him down on the elevator. He said, yeah, that's him right there. And they locked me up.
And how long were you locked up?
For 4 days.
And this is because you went to move the knife out of the way of the can opener because he was going to open up the can.
That's what I assumed.
That's what you assumed. Okay. Your version, Mr. Parks.
My version? I went to his house. I always go to his house at night. You know, when I come in the building, the ghost pilot, I see him. Yo, Bernard, you all right, baby? Everything good? Need anything? No. Okay. All of a sudden, man, he got this problem. Nobody tells me nothing. Eh? So we talking, you know, and all of a sudden, he flips. Next thing you know, one thing, like this gentleman jumps up off the bed, and he's coming at me. And I don't know nothing about no can openers and things like that, but this gentleman is coming at me. Right? He flew into the joint, and in the same motion, he swings, and I goes, oh, baby, no. So the second time, he cuts my hand. He cuts my face. Now, he talking about a can opener. Anyway, he cuts my face. He cuts my hand the first time. Second time, he swings back around. I think he hits my back behind my ear. I got the pictures and everything to show you.
I would like to see
them. I got everything. I got the pictures in there. He hits me with the ear.
I'd like to see
them. Okay, here you go. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know what he... Okay. All right, take your hand out. Let me handle that. I don't know. What's up with this thing?
I'd also like to see the police report.
I don't have police report. I couldn't get that with him.
Is this the only police report you have?
Yes, that's all they gave me.
You have any other paperwork from the court, sir?
Yes, the dismissal.
I'd like to see any other paperwork that you have from the court. Did you testify before the grand jury?
Yes, I did. I'm surprised they didn't lock him up. I don't know what he did.
He was dismissed by the grand jury.
I don't know what he did, though.
I don't know what happened either.
And this is my witness, what happened.
You came up after this altercation was already in progress, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
What is your last name?
McLean.
Mr. McLean. This lady was there?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you speak to her?
Ultimately, she was the one that ran down to let us know there was an altercation happening. So that's when I ran up.
So you spoke to her?
Yes.
When she came down to find you, you're a drug counselor there?
Yes.
When she came down to find you, what did she say to you?
She came down and said, Mark, Bernie and Alan are having a fight, and Bernie has a knife.
Bernie has a knife?
Yes.
Who's Bernie? Mm-hmm. That would be you. So you went upstairs?
Yes.
And when you got upstairs, what happened?
When I got upstairs, I came inside the room where the altercation was. I had to go through Miss Ruth and her niece, who was also present in the room. Alan had Bernie on the floor holding him by his wrist, and Bernie had the knife. I asked him to release the knife. He said, I'm not releasing the knife.
Did you see Mr. Parks' injuries?
Yes, ma'am.
Where were they?
Hand, behind the ear, and I think also on the face.
Okay. Your name is Ruth?
Yes.
Could you stand up, please? What is your last name?
Carruthers.
Ms. Carruthers, how long have you lived in this facility?
I moved in about August, and till now, I'm still there.
Okay, you have your own apartment?
Yes, ma'am.
Were you there the night of this incident on the 27th of November?
Yes.
Was Mr. Parks drinking?
Yes.
What was he drinking?
I think it was a Budweiser, I think.
Is that what you were drinking?
Yes, ma'am.
And how many did he have?
He had what, two?
One he was drinking, and where was the other one?
In his bag that he had in the bag.
Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you see him go to get a bottle opener to open the second can?
Well, he went to the door. I didn't exactly know what he was going to get.
Were they fighting at that time?
Yeah, they started fighting, so I ran downstairs to get Mark.
So you don't know what happened? You didn't see what happened with the knife?
No, I didn't.
Well, but you did, in fact, see the knife because you went down and you told the drug counselor that he had a knife, right? Mm-hmm. That's what he says you told him. Mm-hmm. So you saw the knife?
Yes.
Well, how did Mr. Hayes get his hands on the knife?
Well, when they both got into it, they both went to the door. So he didn't know if he was going to pick up a knife, and I didn't know what he was going to pick up, a can opener or what. They both went to the door. And then he told me, run downstairs to get them because they had got into an altercation.
You told the drug counselor that Bernie has a knife.
Mm-hmm.
So you saw him with a knife in his hand.
Yes, and I was trying to get him to give me the knife, but he didn't want to give it to me. He told me, run downstairs and get Mark.
Why didn't he want to give you the knife?
But he thought he was going to cut him. He said he was going to let it go.
Well, how is he going to cut him if he has the knife?
I wanted him to let it go, and maybe I can try to go downstairs and get them and tell them to come upstairs so they can stop them.
That's crazy.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Listen, there's a reason the grand jury threw you out after you testified, sir. This is not an audition, and I already have the job.
You got it. Good judge.
And later today.
You have children, sir?
Yes.
Any of them live with you?
Both.
When did they come to live with you?
I'm actually staying back at Max's.
So they live with their mother, and you live with their mother?
Correct.
Now I got it.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Cowell Hayes says former sober living roommate Alan Parks had him falsely arrested for a knife attack. Alan is countersuing for medical bills and lost wages.
Now, were you injured, sir?
I had a little nick, but it wasn't.
Now, you weren't injured, and you were asked to leave the facility.
Yes.
What do you think he's responsible for?
When me going to jail, spending four days in jail, and when I was in jail, when I had to go through in jail without my wheelchair.
No, sir. You assumed that Mr. Parks may be going for a knife. And based on that, you went and grabbed the knife out of the drawer. You had the knife in your hand. He doesn't know what you're going to do. That's what you say in your complaint.
I had the knife. He had the blade. I had the handle.
You had the handle because you went and picked it up.
Right.
Yeah. You went and got it out of the drawer.
You're right.
Well, you can't do that, sir.
In my apartment?
Okay. No, because you're in a fight with
him. I asked him like four times.
Mr. Hayes, you have no case. You have no case, period. You have no case. You know, if what you did was anticipate that he might be going to the drawer, you didn't know he was going to get a can opener or he was going to get, or he was. Listen, there's a reason the grand jury threw you out after you testified. This is not an audition, and I already have the job.
You got it. Good judge.
I think you both behaved very badly that night. Don't you?
Yes, ma'am.
So what would you say to these two people, Mr. Drug Counselor?
Well, it doesn't really matter because he doesn't live there anymore. He lives here. He's closed out just to stay away from the building. Don't come around because he knows he's banned from the building and leave it all alone.
Good. So you would say to them, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Me too.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Can I say something, Judge Judy?
I don't get my counter. I don't get nothing.
Did you hear what I said?
Judge, please.
Goodbye.
Excuse me. Step out.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Maltese versus Medina. Step forward.
Amanda Maltese is suing her ex-boyfriend, Jorge Medina, for the return of a dining room set.
Ms. Maltese, the defendant is an ex-boyfriend of yours, and it is your claim that he has or had a dining room table that was yours. You were moving from one place to another. You had no place to store this dining room table. Mm-hmm. Defendant was helping you move?
Correct.
And so he said, well, he would keep it for you until you needed it.
Correct.
Is that what you're telling me?
Mm-hmm.
And then subsequently, you weren't a couple anymore. You said, I want my dining room table back. He said, I don't have it anymore. You know, you gave it to us. I gave it to my uncle. So you went out and bought another dining room table.
Correct.
And now you're suing him for the old dining room table.
Yes.
Well, let me ask you this question, Ms. Maltese. Before you went out and bought the other dining room table, because now you have a dining room table.
Correct.
Right, so you don't want the dining room table back.
No, I'm actually suing for the cost of the table.
No, well, you can't have that. Do you understand? Because I have a question in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
If in February, that's according to you, February you wanted your dining room table back, and you say you were ultimately forced in April to go and buy another dining room table. Why didn't you sue him in February, just like you did now, and say, I want my dining room table back?
Because I had tried to give him the benefit of the doubt in hoping that he would give me either my table or the cost of the table.
Well, he's not going to, and neither am I.
I realize that.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Why is your excuse? You may step out.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Coronado versus Aguilera. Step forward.
Patricia Coronado is suing her ex-boyfriend, Ben Aguilera,
for an unpaid loan to buy a truck.
Mr. Aguilera, what do you do to make a living, sir?
I'm a technician.
And what kind of work do you do, Ms. Coronado?
I'm a homemaker.
How do you support yourself?
My child support.
How old are your children?
17 and 5.
Where did you get the money from to lend Mr. Aguilera money to buy a truck?
I was working for Walmart. I left that job in August of last year, 2013. And I filed my taxes, and I received my taxes on February the 7th, and that's how I had the money.
Why aren't you working now?
I just wanted to take some time off.
You have children, sir?
Yes.
How many?
2.
Any of them live with you?
Yes.
Which child lives with you?
Both.
How old are they?
19 and 12.
When you and Miss Coronado were together, were the children living with you?
No.
When did they come to live with you?
Well, I'm actually staying back at the place, Max's.
So you're back with their mother?
Not necessarily, no. Just helping out.
So they live with their mother?
Correct.
And you live with their mother?
Correct.
Now I got it.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
So I want you to tell me exactly how it came about that you got this new truck. And I would like you to speak up. You hear how I'm talking to you?
Yes.
And you see how I'm looking at you in your face?
Yes.
Tell me how that happened.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy.
Patricia Coronado says ex-boyfriend Ben Aguilera owes for a loan to buy a truck. Ben claims the truck was a gift.
Now, at the time that you lived with Miss Coronado, was she working at Walmart?
For a moment.
Well, let's start out with how long did you live with Miss Coronado?
Well, it's about 9 months.
Until when?
Till March.
Of 2014. And you left Walmart when?
August 20th of 2013.
So when you left Walmart, Mr. Aguilera was living with you?
Yes.
And when he was living with you, who was paying the bills?
We both were.
How was he paying the bills?
He was giving me money every week.
How much?
About $150.
Is that right?
Yes.
So you were paying about $600 for rent?
Yes.
And how much was your rent?
My rent was $650.
So he was paying all the rent?
Yes.
What other things did you take care of, Mr. Aguilera? Because this is what your defense is. Your defense is that this was never a loan, that your transportation broke down, you went with Miss Coronado to get a car, she had the money, she had gotten her tax returns back, and she said, I'll buy you the truck. It was $2,000, and you had been supporting her and her children, so you thought that that was fair. That's your defense, correct?
Yes.
So I want you, because that's not what she said, so I want you to tell me exactly how it came about, Mr. Aguilera, that you got this new truck.
Well, I was...
And I would like you to speak up. You hear how I'm talking to you?
Yes.
And you see how I'm looking at you in your face?
Yes.
Tell me how that happened.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Want justice? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Go ahead.
I was down and out. Needed transportation for tea.
Well, you were living with Miss Coronado.
Right.
You needed transportation.
Yes, and? To get to work and back. And she offered to help. And
not offered to help. What did she say to you?
I'll buy you a truck. Well, don't worry about it. We'll look for another vehicle.
Well, that sounds like a normal thing. Not I will buy you
correct.
A truck. Don't worry about it. We'll look for another car. So you went and looked for another car.
Yes.
And?
And we purchased it. Well, she purchased it. And when the title was handed to us, it was given to me. And she said you should hold on to it.
And?
That's what I did. I held on to it and I put the truck under my name.
Okay. And that was in August of 2013?
No, this was this past February.
February, so right before you left?
Yes.
Where's the truck?
It's parked.
Where?
At my job.
You have the following two choices, Mr. Aguilera. You have the title with you?
Yes.
Either you sign the title over to Miss Coronado or you pay her the $2,000 that she laid out for the truck. What's your pleasure?
I'll pay her the money.
Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $2,000. That's all. Step out.
Parties are excused and they step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
The job was to keep my belongings safe. I found tools missing, pair of earrings, numerous things missing.
Did you ever speak to Mr. Berger?
He had no idea where anything went.
Next Judge Judy.
She wants her money.
I'm just glad that everything's over with.
A lot of anger.
He just picked up and left.
Yeah, I just got up and left.
He said he was gonna go stay with his boys and never came back.
Chapter's closed.
Never ever do something like that for anyone again.